Was this your intention going into the film? Was it pre-planned, or was it kind of a happy accident as you started shooting? It's like, wait a minute, there's another story here.
That was definitely the idea of going in, was to sort of immerse people in the reality of field life with MSF Dr. Laporte. And we thought beforehand going in with this to try and look at a combination of first missions and sessions. Finding the people we found in the field, that was just what we came across, but that was the sort of structure that we had going in for.
And how did you approach MSF with your idea?
A long time, convincing them to essentially let us do this without any interference. And fair enough, about 6 months of negotiation, and then they said yes, fine, and once they said that, they let us just film and stay out of our way. So it was a process of gaining trust, and once we had it, it was great.
And tell us about the preparation you needed going into those locations, and just being like being political, like given the tumultuousness of some of the locations. Like, tell us about the preparation you needed going into those.
The situation much like an MSF team. We go in, we have a briefing, much like anyone arriving for the first time, or even someone who's a veteran going through a new situation. They would explain sort of the context, what was going on, and we would then become essentially part of that team.
And then immersed and ingrained. Does anyone out there have any questions? Right over here. But also so not like MASH.
I mean, it was way more real. You know,
you're kidding all this, right?
I guess you wanted to make sure you didn't make it like MASH.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, we've all seen MASH, and one of the ideas we had earlier on was to use some of the radio traffic to cut out the scenes, much like the use of loudspeaker and MASH to move the narrative forward, but it didn't work. But the idea of immersing people in the field, I mean, MASH is scripted, but it's that sort of thing, but not so real. There was one instance in Pakistan where there was a political issue.
How were you personally affected by having made this film?
It's a difficult question to answer. I mean, it was a complete immersion for all of us as well. So I think you find people that go and work in the field become very immersed with their work. We became completely immersed with making a film about their work. So it's an all-consuming experience, and that was an amazing experience as well. But difficult going through some of the footage, you know, time and time again. We had to show some of the graphic nature so people could understand really some of this, what's at stake and what's going on. But we had to go through hundreds of hours of that, which took a bit of getting used to.
Right here in the middle.
Thank you. I have two questions. One, as we saw in the film, and probably know before watching the film, MSF works, as they said, in car crashes worldwide. My first question is, why did you focus on car crashes in Africa for your documentary? And secondly, I'm wondering, given the number of relief organizations that exist besides MSF, why did you choose to, again, focus on MSF and not one of perhaps a lesser known organization?
I mean, I think I can answer both of those in the same way. The idea was to focus on an emergency medical provider, and yes, there are others, but one of the things that MSF does is really try and go to places where other people are not, which is sort of tied into the first part of the question, which was the idea of looking at really sort of conflict and post-conflict, sort of the immediate sort of medicine that's done in a conflict situation, and then sort of comparing that somewhat with Liberia, which is a post-conflict situation where it starts to bring up the questions of now it's time to leave because you're an emergency medical organization. And we thought it was interesting to sort of really look at the fact that you have to set these limits, because if that's your remit as an organization, you could conceivably, you know, stay there forever doing medicine, but you have to pull out and go to the next emergency somewhere else. So that sort of tear that everyone has to go through is very difficult for them, was I think an important thing to show in the film. So we focus on conflict and post-conflict, and MSF, because they're emergency medicine, which is sort of really the cutting edge of really what's going on in those situations in terms of the work that's being done.
And also, just being in Africa was the other part of the question. What about Haiti?
In terms of other conflict situations. We couldn't really ask MSF to scout. It was more like, you can go to this mission and go. So it's just really as the mission started coming up available for us to go, we went, and those are the ones that were in the film. We also filmed in Pakistan, for example, for 2 months, but that was a natural disaster, very different in feel, and because the problems were very different, it thematically didn't fit into the film, so we didn't put it into the film. We also filmed in Malawi. I was also in Africa, but it wasn't a conflict. AIDS program, again, it's so different that we're thinking of turning it into another film that will, release later, but it didn't fit into this film. So this was more on the spine of conflict and post-conflict, given the countries that we went to, these are the ones that we selected.
Right there. Did anyone else have problems with subtitles?
That's not the final mix, so there are some audio issues that will be resolved in that. And subtitles over the English, and we have somewhat sparing because we've got a lot of other subtitles, but they're also quite small because that's the font they're in at the moment, but they'll get the low number as well.
So you've seen the director's cut.
problem that the expats are going to leave at some point, and in a way that the motivations of why he's doing this work are quite different. National staff, it's a job, and they live in that country, so their approach is also going to be different to an expat who comes in for a short period of time, and then to go to another country, which is inevitably going to create some sort of conflict.
It also struck me that the expats were younger than the nationals, so that there was sort of also an age conflict.
Not so much. It was more, you know, the doctors that were in this film were the best experienced doctors for those situations, who happened to be a lot of them quite young. There wasn't so much an age problem. I think the much bigger conflict was just very different walks of life coming in contact and working in very intense situations together.
Yep,
right
there in the balcony.
I wondered, because I don't know what the attitudes are of the people who lived there, that were people, patients or families of patients, to having their pictures taken or having movies made that they would be in. Did you get any reaction from them? Or?
We asked everyone before we filmed, so, in situations where, you know, lots of family members, everyone got asked. So everything was done with people's permission, and there was two situations where patients arriving were unconscious, and so we filmed and asked when they regained consciousness if it was okay to use the footage. And everyone said yes. So there's nothing in the film that wasn't agreed to.
Right here.
I was wondering, it's pretty horrible when, you know, MSS has to leave and you leave behind this situation. That's a hard part in the film. And with all the NGOs that there are, are there some of them that are designed to sort of come in at that point after the emergency crisis and do anything? Do you know anything about that? Is that sort of outside your hand?
I mean, I'm not really an expert on NGOs or, you know, how MSF works with the handoff. We have a couple of MSF here. So if there are those questions, then I don't think I can answer them. But that handover is not something I've ever experienced, so I always want to say something.
Hi, I'm an Avril. I work at MSF here in Toronto. We have programs in 70 countries around the world, and what we saw here was us leaving the project in Congo, but we still have 2,000 people working in Congo right now. So it's an ongoing issue that you move from one place to the other, and you always look for what we call handover partners. They would be the more developmentally oriented NGOs, and of course a big part of our work is to raise awareness of the need for local charities, but especially the local ministries of health to take up their responsibilities, especially if they get funding from international agencies like CETA and things like that. So yeah, it's a constant struggle for the teams when the decision's been made to close a mission or hand over to find someone to take it out.
Anyone else? I guess by asking, what is your next project? What does this take?